If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 21. While you're turning to it, I do want to say thank you very much to those of you who pray for Jack and myself and the work of the Faith Mission. We valued your prayers the last couple of weekends and the couple of sleepovers that we had. And also thank you too for praying for Janet's friend Rhonda in her tragedy at this time, with the loss of her husband and for her family. We do appreciate that. If anyone is free on Wednesday lunchtime, would like to come out to the camp centre at Carew. We have the Oasis at Carew lunch. You don't need to book in, you can come along between 12:30 and 2:30 after dinner. There'll be a singing a few songs and a short message from God's word. Do come, bring someone else with you if you'd like to. And then on Sunday evening, a week today, at 7 o'clock is the next gospel hymn sing evening. So if you'd like to come along and join in with singing, or bring other people who'd like to come along, there'll be refreshments afterwards as well. 1 Samuel chapter 21. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place.' Now then, what have you to hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find." But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread to hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us as usual whenever I set out. The men's things are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So the priest gave him the consecrated bread. Since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now, one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon, because the king's business was urgent." The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, who you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he feigned insanity in their presence, and while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that..." sorry, it strikes me funny. "Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. Amen. You'll know the familiar verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Oh, how great it is when people live in the light of God's word and the obedience to God's word and show forth God's presence and power through them, such as David did in chapter 17 when we read he faced Goliath. But here, it's a very different picture. The Bible doesn't sort of, as it were, sugarcoat its heroes. We can see the heroes as they are. And it can make us actually quite grateful that our lives aren't maybe quite on display as much as such as David's or other people. And in fact, the great heroes of faith also had, as it were, feet of clay. They're also human beings like you and me. The only one who is righteous is the Lord Jesus himself. The only one who is perfect in all history is Jesus himself. And so we can look at David and learn lessons from his mistakes, from his failures, as well as his successes. And we can relate our lives in quite similar ways, maybe. Sometimes when we have trusted the Lord in difficult circumstances and known his peace and his presence and his power in us in those times. But also times maybe when we have lent on our own understanding. And that seems to be the case for David here. David, who was unafraid before Goliath as a young man, he didn't listen to his brothers or even King Saul or wearing King Saul's armor, but he went out in the name of the Lord in complete faith and trust in God. And God gave him the victory. He said, "The battle is the Lord's." He wasn't on his own. He had no spear in his hand, no shield. But he had God. He had faith in God. And God was with him and blessed him. But here, there are two verses that show a key phrase in this chapter here. One is in verse 10. And I've put the wrong reference down. But it says that David was afraid. I suppose verse 10, yes, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. He fled from Saul. Why did he flee from Saul? He was afraid. Saul's out to get him, yes, but he fled from Saul. And in verse 12, we can read here that then David was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. Fear has taken over David's life. It seems that faith has gone, or is very little, but fear has taken control. And when we're afraid, well, we don't make very good decisions. And the consequences are often disastrous as well. Do you remember the disciple Peter? He stepped out of the boat to walk on the water to meet Jesus. Before we criticize Peter, the other disciples were still in the boat and they never left it. Maybe you might say they're sensible. But Peter had faith to step out, to look to God. And then it was only then that he took his eyes off the Lord and saw the wind, or the effects of the wind, and the waves. And then he began to sink. But he cried out, "Lord, save me." Fear took over where faith had been. And here David seems to be a man who's afraid, and very much afraid. And so he takes things, it seems, into his own hands. And he went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. It seems if he went, well, we could ask, well, where was David to go? What was he to do? Friends that he had, such as Jonathan, and their friendship and their promises to each other in the previous chapter, well, they're not there anymore. They're still friends and still keep those promises, but David is on his own. It seems he's alone. You might wonder, well, where is God? Where is his promises? As a young person, he'd been anointed and promised that one day he would be king, and now he's on the run. Now he's a fugitive, fleeing for his life, it seems. And so where does he turn to? Well, he goes to where the tabernacle is at that particular point. Well, the tabernacle was movable, a tent, so it was in Shiloh. It seems to be somewhere slightly different now for this this time anyway, and Ahimelech the priest is there. And so he seemed to go to the right place, the house of God. But what was he going there for? He asked for food and he asked for a sword. I don't know why you came to church this morning. Was it for food? It probably wasn't for a sword. I don't know of any swords around here. But here David, he turns to Ahimelech. And Ahimelech, as the priest, trembles. Why is he trembling? Well, David is on his own. This seems rather suspicious, rather unusual. David is this mighty man. Here he is on his own. There's not... If you went to Dublin and met the president walking around the streets of Dublin, you might think this was strange if he was by himself. There'd normally be maybe guards or other people around. But you see now the son-in-law of the king, David, and it was one of the commanders-in-chief of Saul's army, on his own, without a sword, without this entourage, you think something's wrong, something's not right here. And so he trembles. Why are you alone? Why is no one with you? And here David answers, it seems without a second thought. And what's his answer? His answer is a lie. David, you're anointed. You're to be the king God has chosen. A child of God ought not to lie. Jesus said to the religious people, you're your father the devil because he is a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. And yet, if anyone could hear, could put our hand up and say that we've never lied, I'd be surprised. Maybe we call them a little white lie, a fib. But we don't really go into situational ethics, do we, that in a situation it's okay to lie. No, a lie is a lie. And yet here David just says this lie. The king charged me with a certain matter. He says, I'm on a special mission for the king. That's not true. I think Ahimelech knows it's not true as well. It doesn't seem to ring true. and to make it even more suspicious, he said his men were at another place. Well, that's another lie. David is on his own. And then so David is lying and then lying and lying again. Notice he doesn't have his sword with him. It was urgent, there was no time to get my sword. Yes, right. That doesn't seem true either. It's a poem, isn't there? Was it Walter Scott said it? Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we attempt to deceive or try to deceive. One lie leads to another one and another one, and very soon David is just lying. David, have you forgotten who you are? You are the anointed king. You're the one that God has promised who will rule. This doesn't seem that his behavior is not like that of a child of God. Is God going to give up on David? Is God going to give up on us when we fail? No. There's a lovely verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 11 says, here is a trustworthy saying, but then verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He's promised David. But you see now, David might be wondering, where is God and why am I alone? Why is this happening? I thought it was going to be fine. And if we have come to know the Lord as our Savior and we're following him, we will face challenges, we will face trials, we will face difficulties. But these are maybe challenges to increase our faith, to prepare us for what's coming next. If David's path to being king was going to be fine and nothing, no problems, well, he probably wouldn't make a very good leader, would he? Very good king. But God is preparing him, going through these trials and these situations where he'll realize that he can turn to no one or trust no one, not even himself, but he can call out to Almighty God. We might refer to a few psalms of this time that David wrote, maybe slightly later on in a bit. But he lies and then he asks for food. 5 loaves of bread. If you read Leviticus 24, you find that they put out these 12 loaves of bread and 2 piles of 6 on this table of showbread. It was the bread of the presence, of fellowship with God. There's so much about food in the Bible, isn't there? Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know, the eating with people is something of a fellowship, of a friendship, of getting to know people, of sharing. And God invites people to come, as it were, and there's the table of showbread, the bread of the presence. The priests were to eat it. They were to replace it every Sabbath day with fresh bread, so every week, and that they could eat it themselves after that. But here, he asked for 5 of them. I suppose it pretends that there's more than just himself, 5 loaves, but there we are. And so, but he lies to get it. But notice who was there watching. Verse 7. Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, the Edomite. You've never heard of anybody called Doeg before or since? Probably not surprising, is it? It's not really a very appealing name, and certainly not by his character. It's not the last time we'll come across this character. We'll read about him later on and the terrible thing that he did later. But here he is, he's Saul's chief shepherd. Something David had been, he'd been a shepherd. But here was Doeg, an Edomite, descendant of Esau. Do you remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Jacob's twin brother, Esau, their descendants were Edomites. So related, but not amongst God's chosen people. So that's who he is. And he's there. I think David realizes there's something going on. He's watching. David asked Ahimelech, don't you have a sword or a spear here? Spear or sword? The priest replied, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, it is here. Interesting that it's that sword, isn't it? And it's there in that place. In fact, I think if the geography is correct, when David was going from where Saul was to here, he'd have probably gone through the valley of Elah. So he'd have gone through the place where he had known victory before. A reminder of God's power and his presence with him, keeping his promises. But now it seems that David is failing. But he gets given this sword. And even David compliments this sword. There is none like it. Give it to me. Well, the sword didn't do Goliath much good, did it? And so David's now wanting this sword. Maybe it's just a practical thing, and maybe it's nothing to be read into it. But I wonder, is his trust in himself and his abilities and what he can get, what he has, rather than in God himself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And so he takes the sword and then he flees from this place. I think he's suspicious of Doeg and what he might do. Maybe he lied to the priest, to Ahimelech, to try to protect him so that if Saul did come to find out where he was, in this period of about 10-15 years, David seemed to go from place to place to place. He was like a fugitive on the run. Wherever Saul heard that he was there, he sent people there. So he was almost going to put Ahimelech and the priesthood in danger by going there. We'll see the result of that later on. So maybe his lie was to try to protect Ahimelech. Maybe it was that he didn't trust Ahimelech either. But he said something that wasn't true. And you might say, well, he got away with it. But you see, even when we're faithless, God remains faithful. And even when, you see, we don't deserve God's goodness, do we? David didn't deserve the bread. He wasn't a priest. David didn't deserve the goodness and the kindness of God. We don't deserve the goodness and the kindness of God, even for our daily bread. Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You might think, well, we earned it. We can get it, therefore we deserve it. But actually, everything comes from the goodness and the kindness of God. He gives rain to the just and the unjust. And here, though David doesn't deserve it, God is still there. God is still keeping his hand on his servant, even when he's sort of going away from him and maybe doing things that are wrong. I remember some years ago going to a place, there was an amazing swimming pool with lots of slides or flumes. I remember there was queues for a few of them, but one of them had no queue, so I just jumped on it. It was great fun. This slide went spiraling down. I think it was known as a corkscrew, I think it was. And it went spiraling down, faster and faster, spinning. And then you opened out into this big bowl. It was about the width of this room, it seemed, or nearly. And you sort of were like, oh, wow. And where's this slide going to go? And you suddenly realise that there was a hole in the middle. And you realise, uh-oh, you're going to be dropped through this hole and into the water below. I wasn't expecting it. But yes, once you were, went on it again and again, it was fun. But I think for David, he started on a slippery slope, running away, started on a slippery slope of lies, and it takes him further and further. And you know, we can do that with our own lives too. If we reject God, or if we reject his word, or trusting in him, and start trusting in ourselves, it can lead us away. And one sin adds to another, and soon we're far from God. But you see, God remains faithful. And so David, where does he go next? He goes to Achish, king of Gath. Hang on a minute. David later feigned insanity, but he might pause here and think, David, have you lost your mind? He's going to the Philistines. He's going to Gath, which is where Goliath is from, with the sword of Goliath. This doesn't seem to make much sense, does it really? But maybe it's sort of, I don't know, reverse psychology. It seems like the least expected place that Saul would find David would be amongst the Philistines and in Gath. So maybe it's a practical thought, he thought that way. But he goes to them. Somebody suggested actually that maybe Goliath was actually a rival for the throne of Gath itself, of Achish the king. So maybe he was quite glad to have got rid of Goliath. We don't know that for certain. But anyway, he's recognized there. Isn't it interesting to notice that David is recognized for who he is? Even though David maybe seems to have forgotten himself, that he is the anointed one of God. The one who's anointed is the king. They said, isn't this David? And what do they call him? The king of the land. Hang on, Saul was the king. But the Philistines recognized David as the king. There's other times, aren't there, when people have been recognized as the king? Well, when someone was recognized as the king. What was it Pilate had nailed to the cross that Jesus died on? The king of the Jews. The religious leaders say, don't say that, say that he said that. What I've written, said Pilate. The king of the Jews. He recognized who Jesus was. Even the thief who was crucified with Jesus said this, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognized Jesus as a king, though Jesus didn't look like a king. Nailed to a cross, beaten, humiliated. And here David, on his own in Gath, is recognized as the king by the enemies of the land, of the people. They'd known the song. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Well, at this, verse 12, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid. What's he going to do? It seems that he's taken prisoner, so it says here, while he was in their hands. But he was very much afraid. Afraid of this king. So what did he do? Well, he didn't use the sword, did he? He'd be outnumbered. But he feigned insanity. You might say, well, David was a good actor, because they seemed to believe it. Maybe he was desperate, wasn't he? Been desperate before, running from Saul, desperate for food, desperate now here for his own life. But he acts like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate, letting saliva run down his beard. So he's recognized as being, having lost his mind, as being insane. I do find it quite amusing that Achish thinks he has enough madmen without David to add to the number. But they want to get rid of David, and David escapes, as it were. Again, did David deserve this rescue, this deliverance? No, but neither do we, from our sin, from being dead in trespasses and sins. But God, in his mercy, has brought us from that place and given us what we don't deserve. His kindness, his goodness, his righteousness, his forgiveness. And so even though it looks like maybe David had his hand in his escape, overall we know that God is there. If you read Isaiah 43 and verse 10. I still remember this verse. We had somebody to help us with camps in Yorkshire. This guy couldn't sing for toffee. He didn't have a note in his head, but he decided to sing this memory verse, and I've never forgotten it. I don't think we've laughed as much as leaders or campers. And so we asked him to sing it a second time, and it was a completely different tune. But it's stuck in their minds for several years afterwards. But the point is still very clear. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be afraid. It's one of the common things Jesus said to his followers, do not be afraid. David could learn that too. And the lessons that David could learn in this time here, he taught us, in fact, through some of the Psalms that he wrote later on. If you turn to Psalm 34, the title says, of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left, Psalm 34. And it says this in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. If you read verse 6, it says, this poor man called, the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Verses 8 and 9, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. See, if we fear the Lord, we'll have nothing else to fear. David, you don't need to be afraid of Saul. You don't need to be afraid of Abimelech. You don't need to be afraid of Achish. The king. Sorry, Achish is his name, and the other one is the title for kings there in the Philistine country. And if you read verse 11 of Psalm 34, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. I think David has learned his lesson. He shouldn't have done it. He could have feared God, trusted God, and all would be well. Verses 18 and 19 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Yes, we can know troubles, even like David here in his desperation, but the Lord delivered him, even though he perhaps didn't deserve it. Psalm 56 as well says, the title says, to the tune of Dove on Distant Oaks of David, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. It says in verse 3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Verse 9, when my enemies will turn back when I call for help, but this I know, that God is for me. It's a lovely little phrase, isn't it? God is for me. David feels all alone. But God is for him. And child of God, he's for you, he's for me. Whatever we face, whatever we go through, God is for us. Verse 13, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So in chapter 22, David left Gath and escaped to the cave in Adullam. Adullam means refuge, really, a place of refuge. And when his brothers and his father's house heard of it, they went down to meet him. Maybe it was safe for them to try and get away from Saul by being associated with David, because Saul seems to be losing it himself, and his anger and his hatred and his bitterness against David. But notice who came to him. Verse 2. All those who were in distress or debt or discontented gathered round him, and he became their leader. Do you think if David didn't have enough problems to have all these people coming too, discontented, in distress and in debt? But he became their leader. You know, God's anointed one. And it's these people here who we read later, many of them who had become David's mighty men, the one who believed the promises of God, that David would be the anointed king, and had set their heart to follow him. You know, when Jesus was walking around, he saw the crowds, a sheep without a shepherd. But he was the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and calls all you who labor and are heavily laden to come, and he will give them rest. The greater King, the Lord Jesus himself. But then David went to Moab. Why did he go to there? To try to find protection for his father and mother. We don't read much about them really in the Bible, but here they are mentioned. And his father Jesse is mentioned more often. But he goes to Moab. Why there? Do you remember who his great-grandmother was? Ruth. And where had Ruth come from? Moab. It's often thought that maybe there was some sort of links there or family ties or some sort of connection. It might be that they're not that keen on Saul either in Moab because it's a king of a neighboring country, and often neighboring countries don't get on well, but other ones around can. But he goes to Moab and finds protection for his mother and his father, and they stayed there as long as David was in the stronghold. But notice verse 5. The prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went into the forest of Hereth. I think this is the first mention of Gad, not the last one. But even in the darkness and in the distress and in the fear and in his fleeing and in his feigning of sanity, in the darkness that David doesn't know what's going on really, where's God? Where's his promises? It seems so far from what he's experiencing. That somehow in this darkness, there was a voice from God. God speaks to him. Psalm 119, 105, the entrance of your word brings light. And here comes this prophet with a word from the Lord. Go up to Judah. We could contrast that with Saul, who had rejected the word of God, disobeyed God, thought he knew best. It seems almost here as if David's following that same way. But actually David has turned around. He's listening to God. Read those Psalms. And it shows that he learned his lessons. And may we do too, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But for Saul, like so many people that maybe we know who are outside of Christ, who don't know the Lord as their Saviour, they are without hope because they are without God in this world. And for Saul, there doesn't seem to be any more word from the Lord for him. Just that darkness. Just that misery because he had rejected. But for David, God's promises ring true. Even though David had seemed to wander, God called him back, brought him back to where he was meant to be. He still wasn't. There's still more challenges before he's the king of one area and then of the whole area. But God is faithful. God will keep his promises. He will keep his word. David could trust him and does not need to be afraid. There's another psalm that quotes from when David was in the cave of Adullam, Psalm 57. Those psalms are well worth reading in the light of this. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. recognizes his need for mercy when he'd lied, when he'd been afraid, when he'd deceived and other things too. But for in you my soul takes refuge. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Not just in the cave. That means refuge, but in the presence of Almighty God. He could trust, and he did not need to be afraid. Verse 8 says, I will awaken the dawn. There is that light that's coming, that hope, because God is, and God remains faithful, and God has promised, and the kingdom is coming. When Jesus walked in this world, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king had come. Wasn't recognized as such by most people, but his promises ring true. And as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. God has promised. God is faithful. The last verse of Psalm 57, let your glory be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. God is the ruler. God is reigning. And yes, he calls us to come, to follow him, to trust him. And for the Lord Jesus, that kingdom, yes, is established when we trust him, when we know him, but fulfilled ultimately when he comes to rule and reign again. He has promised to return. He will. God has promised. He will keep his word. Lessons we can learn from David. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is merciful. Even when we fail, he remains faithful to his promises. Don't forget who we are. Children of God, anointed, called, chosen, precious. God will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us always. I thought perhaps we'd sing in closing number 1, 2, 6, 5.